Good morning, church. Hey, glad you're here today. Was yesterday a nice day or what? Yeah, it was nasty outside, wasn't it? This is going to sound really strange. I know Sandy, my wife, just looks at me cross-eyed when I say this. But when we lived in Colorado, I missed the rain. I really did. When we lived in Colorado, I missed the rain. We lived on the west side of Denver, kind of up next to the foothills, and Colorado, Denver area, is considered a high desert. And so while everything looks lush and green, it's only because of the sprinkler system that every yard has around there, or that the city's own for the boulevards and that kind of thing. And so yesterday, when it rained all day long, it was like, yes, I love rain. I miss it out in Colorado so very much. And so, but honestly, it was kind of miserable. It was cold, it was rainy, it was windy, it was just kind of nasty outside. Hey, listen, I am glad that you are here today. And last week we wrapped up our Samson series, and today we're starting a brand new series, and this new series is called Making Sense. And this series deals with a subject matter that all of us just absolutely love to talk about. We're going to be talking about finances. Yeah, the reality is we don't like to talk about finances, do we? I mean, hardly anybody likes to talk about finances. But here's another reality that you may not understand, that you may not realize. The reality is this: Jesus talked more about finance. He talked more about finance than any other subject. And that begs the question, why in the world did Jesus talk more about finance than any other subject? I think Jesus talked more about finances than anything else because he felt as though that we needed to hear about it more than anything else. And if you take this series seriously, it can actually change your financial future for the better. For that matter, it can change your life in general. It can change your marriage. Yeah, that's right. It can change your marriage. Did you know that the number one cause of divorces in America is due to financial problems? Did you know that? The number one cause of divorce in America is due to financial problems, due to finances. And a number of studies actually prove that out. And so this series has the chance, has the possibility, has the potential to change your life. Now, because of our dislike to talk about finances, we will have some people who, when they come to church for the next several weeks, they will just sort of check out mentally. They'll sit there and they just really won't pay attention. We have other people who will make the conscious decision, you know what? They're talking about finances in church, and so therefore I'm not going to go to church for the next several weeks. In fact, get this. Some of you will find this hard to believe, but it's true. We have had people in our church, because we have talked about finances in a series, we've had some people in our church actually leave the church and go to another church and never ever come back just because we talked about something that Jesus talked about himself. Please don't give in to the temptation just to check out mentally. Please don't give in to the temptation to stop coming during this series. And for heaven's sakes, please don't give in to the temptation to leave the church over a finance series. Understand, Jesus talked more about finances than anything else. He thinks we need to hear about it. Make a commitment to be here for the entire series and watch your financial life absolutely change for the better. And it may not happen overnight, but in the long run, your life can change financially. Now, here are the basics of the series. Today, we're going to be talking about the concept, less is more. Less is more. Another concept in week 2 we're going to be talking about is that stress is bad. In week 3 we're going to be talking about how giving is actually a good thing. Giving is good. And so today, less is more. If you're like me, you have been programmed throughout your entire life. You've been programmed to believe that more is always better, right? I mean, more is always better. I mean, I've always thought if I have one, two is better. If I have $1, right, two is better, right? If I have one car, two cars are better, right? I mean, more is better. And check this out. Some of you have probably been wondering, what in the world's he got there? Is he going to do a magic trick for us today or what? Check this out. I've got a bowl full of my favorite candy. Anybody else like M&M's? Yeah, almost every hand went up. We love our M&M's, right? And in this bowl, I started out with two of the two of the party size bags of M&Ms. In the service, I added more M&Ms. Now I've got three bags of M&Ms here, right? And that's good. But with the concept, with the belief that we've been programmed with, more is better, I'm thinking, you know, three bags of M&Ms is really, really good. But in my mindset, I'm thinking four bags of M&Ms is even better. Can I get an amen? Amen. Exactly right. Four bags of M&Ms is better than two bags or three bags of M&Ms, right? More is always better. Now, today, let's talk about the whole concept, and this is hard to believe, but let's talk about the concept, less is more. Less is more. Open up your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. If you brought your smartphone, if you got your tablet with you, open it up, click to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6. Now, does anybody know who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? If you know it, shout it out. Who? Solomon. Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 6, this is what Solomon writes. He says, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls of work, two handfuls of stress and fear and financial worry. Now, the question is, why is one handful better? One handful is better because if someone else needs a hand up, one handful is better because if someone else needs a hand up, you can give them a hand up. If someone else needs comfort, you might have one handful of tranquility in your life, but guess what? You have a free hand to give them comfort. If one handful is full of tranquility, guess what? If they're in need of M&Ms, guess what? You can give them some M&Ms, right? Who wants some M&Ms? Anybody want M&Ms? Raise your hand. You guys really want some M&Ms? Here you go. Anybody want M&Ms over here? Way back there. Okay, let's see if check my arm out. Okay, Astros need me, right? Here we go. There's some M&Ms. Watch out! There we go. Yeah. You see, here's my point. We have one handful of tranquility, right? We have one handful of tranquility. We have been programmed to have two handfuls. We've been programmed in our lives that more is better. However, the reality is, when you really stop and think about it, the reality is less is more. It really is. Less is more. I had a conversation, and I've told this story before. I had a conversation years and years ago with a guy who was in the hospital, Peoria, Illinois, Methodist Medical Center. He was a multi, and I do mean multi-millionaire. He was in on the ground floor of Hardee's, back when Hardee's, was a big thing back in the 70s and the 80s. And this guy was in the hospital, dying of cirrhosis of the liver. And this guy, when I visited him, he was in ICU. He was literally on his deathbed. He knew himself that he would not get out of the hospital alive. He knew he was going to die in the hospital. And we had a long conversation that night. He had a clarity about what was really important in life and really what wasn't important in life. And he said a lot of things in our conversation, but one thing that he said in the conversation, I believe, was really, really profound. He said this in the middle of our conversation. He said, Len, where has all my money gotten me now? Where has all my money gotten me right now? I mean, talk about knowing what's really true in life and what isn't true in life. You see, this guy had no family around him, no friends around him. Oh, he was a multimillionaire many times over, but he had no one around him actually when he died in the hospital. No one was there. No one cared for him. He was all alone. Let me ask you, what's important? I mean, really, what's important to you? What's important to you? I put that question out on Facebook a number of weeks ago, and you can probably guess the answers. I had a lot of people say, well, my spiritual life's the most important thing in my life. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, is the most important thing in my life. Other people wrote, my family, my spouse, my friends, my relationships, my inner peace that comes from Jesus Christ. But and other people wrote, my health is very, very important. Guess what no one wrote down? No one wrote that that my money is the most important thing in my life. No one wrote down, my bank account is the most important thing in my life. No one wrote that down. Don't miss this. No one wrote down my new kitchen counters I've saved for years and years and years, or no one wrote that down. No one wrote down my new leather sofa. No one wrote that down. No one said that the number of the friends that they have on Facebook or followers on Instagram or Twitter, no one wrote those things down. You see, when you boil everything down in life that really matters, you'll find out that we spend way too much time in our lives pursuing things that don't make it, they really don't even make the list. They don't make the list at all. We tend to think that what we don't have is what we really need. I don't have that. Oh man, I need it. I need that in my life. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls of work and chasing after the wind. Now today, I want to keep things really, really simple. In fact, I'm going to keep things simple, so simple today, that we're only going to deal with this one Bible verse. That's it. I'm going to keep it that simple today. And with that in mind, I've got three principles that slap at the idea that less is more. The first principle is this, and we've got to become comfortable with it. We really do. And the first principle is we've got to cut back. Oh, come on. We have got to cut back. For example, I remember back in my college, grad school years, my wife and I were house-sitting for a professor and his family. They traveled to Scotland for a year to Edinburgh so that he could study on his PhD. He was putting in his residency. And they had this great, big, huge, and beautiful two-story Victorian house. It was about 100 years old. It was really, really cool. It had four, five, maybe six bedrooms in the house. It was massive. And each bedroom, like today, each bedroom had a closet. However, the closets in that house, in those bedrooms, those closets were only 3 feet wide. Maybe, you know what I'm talking about 4 feet wide. That's all they were. You go to every single bedroom, only 3 or 4 foot closets. You go to the master bedroom, that bedroom, it wasn't any bigger than the other bedrooms at all. And the question is, why is that? Well, apparently, back in the 1800s, when they built that house, and houses just like it, when they built those houses, men and women didn't have all the clothes back then that we do today, right? Back in those days, we didn't need all those clothes. Let's fast forward to 2019, to the 21st century. Can we talk closets today? Most closets today in your second, your third, your fourth, and your fifth, whatever, you know, bedrooms, most of those closets have double closets. Those double closets are maybe 6 feet wide, 8 feet wide. They're double closets. They're huge closets for us to hang up clothes and to put stuff into. And when you go to master bedrooms, most houses today that are built, they have walk-in closets. Some houses have walk-around closets in their house. You know what I'm saying? You can walk around the closet in the master bedroom, and you can walk a mile after 10 circles. It's just simply huge. And get this, and this is really, really crazy. Get this. You've got two-story closets. You got clothes on the top. You got clothes on the bottom. You look at all your clothes all around your closet, and you can go all around your closet and touch all your clothes on the top and the bottom. And when you get done touching your clothes in the morning, guess what? You come away after touching all your clothes, and you say, you know what? I don't have anything to wear. I don't have anything to wear. I mean, isn't that crazy? That's just absolutely nuts. You see, some people, get this, some people have so much stuff in their lives, so much stuff that their stuff spills out from the house into their garage. Question, what's the purpose of a garage? And don't say to store my stuff. The purpose of a garage is to keep your car or keep your cars. The stuff from the house spills into the garage. It spills from the garage miraculously up into the attic. The attic gets full. It spills out into the mini barn. It's full in the mini barn. It spills into, get this. And I know people who do this. I don't know anybody here that does this, but I know people in other churches who do this. They have so much stuff that they store their stuff in a storage unit. I know one family that has two storage units of stuff. Isn't that crazy? They pay people good, hard-earned money to keep their stuff. Stuff that they've maybe forgotten about. Stuff that they don't see on a daily basis. Stuff that they didn't even know they maybe even had. I mean, you talk about crazy. That's just absolutely crazy. You see, every now and then, we need to remember, and this is hard for me to say this, we need to remember that less is actually more. Less is actually more. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls filled with work and stress and worry and all the stuff that goes with that. Jesus told a parable, a story back in the first century when he was here on this earth. Jesus told a parable. And he ended the parable by saying this. He says, your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. I'm talking to me here. I know this intellectually. How many of you are with me? We know this intellectually. But do we know this in our heart of hearts? Do we really know this in the heart of hearts? We know it intellectually, but do we know it in our heart of hearts? Our lives does not consist in the abundance of our stuff. It doesn't consist in the abundance of our stuff. The stuff that we keep in our garages and our attics and our mini barns, for some people, they keep it in storage units. And sometimes I think one of the keys I had a single gal leave our chapel service this morning, and she says, you know what I was doing this summer, Lynn? I go, what were you doing? She goes, this summer, I don't know. It just got into me. I need to declutter my house. I need to get rid of stuff. And I think back, you know, I was looking on Facebook this summer, and she was selling all sorts of stuff from her house. We need to get rid of some of our stuff, I think. I think what we need to do is to get rid of some of our stuff. We need to cut back our consumption. We really, really do. Now, that's why I want to encourage you today. That's why I want to encourage you today to cut back on your consumption. Cut back on your stuff. You see, less is more. How about less stuff and more friends? How about less stuff and more time with family? And in order to get there, I think we need to cut back on consumption. You see, less really is more. Here's a second thought. A second thought when it comes to less is more, and that is we need to clear out. We need to clear out. It's been said that we need to clear out as though our lives depended on it. When I read that a few weeks ago, I thought, what? That sounds kind of extreme. We need to clear out as though our lives depended on it? Come on. It's extreme. But the reality is, if we declutter our lives, if we clear out the clutter in our lives, we'll make more room for our family. We'll make more room for our spouse. We'll make more room for our God. You see, decluttering makes more room for the more important things in our lives, more important people in our lives. Now, this is tough for some people. It really is. Why? Well, I think some of you are probably like me when it comes to your life story. Growing up, I didn't have a whole lot. I really didn't. We didn't live in poverty by any stretch of the imagination, but we didn't have a whole lot growing up. Growing up, I didn't have all the nice clothes like all the kids in school did. Growing up, we didn't have the nice big house with all the nice new furniture inside like all the other kids did. Growing up, we didn't have the nice new cars every other year like all the other kids did. Now, don't get me wrong. We weren't out begging for food. We weren't out panhandling or anything else. I mean, we had a vacation every single year with Dad and Mom, but we didn't have a whole lot. I mean, Dad and Mom, they kept the bills paid. They kept food on the table. We didn't have a mansion, but yet we didn't have a shack, a tin shack. But we had a warm house to sleep in. But we just didn't have all the bright, shiny stuff like everybody else did in town. And so there's a lot of us, even in this church, a lot of us who have this conserve and preserve mentality. We don't want to waste anything, do we? We don't want to waste anything. In fact, what we want to do, we don't want to throw anything away. I've got a stack of wood, probably two stacks of wood at my house right now, thinking, you know what? I might need that 3-foot-long 2x12 someday. I don't want to throw it away. You, right, Luke? You know what I'm talking about? I might need it. And so we conserve and we preserve. And guess what? You've got other people in the world today who are sentimentalists, and I'm kind of that way too. It's kind of a twofer for me. You know what? Oh, I tell you what, before we had kids, you know, so-and-so, you know, we just love so-and-so so much. So-and-so gave us this. And I just can't bring myself to throw this away. Because so-and-so, the person we love so much, they gave it to us. And how many of us have a garage full of that stuff? Closets full of that stuff. How about attics and mini barns and maybe even storage units full of that stuff? And do you remember what Jesus said? Your life doesn't consist of all the stuff that you've got. It doesn't consist of all your possessions. You see, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls of toil and stuff. Cut back. Clear out. In fact, here's an idea for you. Here's an idea. If you haven't used it in the past 2 years, give it away. If you haven't used it in the past 2 years, why don't you just give it away? Go to your attic, go to your mini barn, go to your garage, go to your storage unit. And if you haven't used it in the past 2 years, why don't you just give it away? Go through those places, and if you haven't used it, give it to somebody else who can use it. Or how about this idea? I love this idea. I love this idea. You get something, you give something away. You get a new shirt, you give a shirt away. You get a new pair of jeans, you give some jeans away. You get a new pair of shoes, you give a pair of shoes away. You get a new pack of underwear, you give, well, anyway, you know what I'm talking about? We're not going to, Luke, you want some underwear? I'll pass. But you get the idea, right? You get something, you give something. That's what I'm talking about. And speaking of giving something, in your program today, check this out. In your program today, get your program, check it out. In your program today, the third item down, the Wings Group is collecting coats and hats and scarves and gloves for Open Arms now through November 10th. How many of you have an extra coat in your closet at home? Maybe hanging on a hook in the back of the door, maybe hanging on a hook in the garage. Why don't you bring that gently used coat to church, wash it, have it cleaned, bring it to church, and there's a great big huge box there by the main doors. Put that in that box. We did this last year. We had a ton of coats. Put that out last year, and let's do it again this year. Let's give coats and hats and scarves and gloves to Open Arms for people who really, really need it. You get one, give one. You see, when you do stuff like this, I think you can recognize that one handful of tranquility is better than two handfuls, maybe two armfuls of coats, two handfuls of toil and stress and worry. And so you cut back, you clear out. And here's a third thing that we can do, and that is pay off. Pay off. How many of you would agree that financial stress is absolutely no fun at all? Anybody agree with me on that? How many of us have been down this road before? Financial stress is not fun. I have never heard anyone say, oh man, I'm telling you what, I just love the fact that we're in debt. Up to our eyeballs. Not to our chins, but we're in debt up to, I love that. I've never heard anybody say that. You know what? Our high interest credit cards are the bomb for me. I love having high interest credit cards. And what's more than that, I love my high interest credit cards all maxed out. I love it. It gives me so much peace in my life. I've never heard anybody say that. I have heard people say this. My debt really makes me feel stressed out. I worry every single month, in fact, every single week, if I can meet my bills. My credit cards, if I can just meet the minimum payments on those. I worry every month about that kind of a thing. And you know what we do at our house? We fight all the time about money. Yeah, you know what? I've heard people say that time and time and time again. That's why Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University is so good. Through that program, through that class, they help you get debt-free. You start paying off a credit card here, a little one, and then you get that paid off, you celebrate a little bit, and then you take the money that you were paying on that credit card and you apply it to the next biggest credit card. You pay that off, you celebrate a little bit, you take that money and pay it on this money here, and pay it on this credit card here, and you pay it, and you go on and on and on. People have actually done it. In fact, some people go as far as to even pay off their cars much earlier by doing that. What's more than that, some people actually get to the point where they actually pay off their houses early. You're going, oh, come on, really? Yeah, people like to live debt-free. In fact, we've got people in our church who practice this, who do this. And you know what they tell me? They have told me, you know what, Lynn? That now allows me to be able to be a tither, to be able to tithe my income to the church the way that the Lord wants me to do. That allows me to give to the church. You see, someday we all can get to that point. I mean, stress is bad. We all agree with that. But I think financial stress in many ways is even worse. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls of toil and stress and work and worry. In fact, let me put this a different way. Better to have a car in the driveway that's paid off than to have a nice, new, luxurious car that has great big payments. It's better that way. Better is to have money left over after every single paycheck, every single week, to help other people out, then living paycheck to paycheck. That's better. In fact, speaking of paying off, Bill Lucas told me early this month, he says, Lynn, he says, you may or may not know this, but, and Bill Lucas, by the way, is on our finance team. He says, you may or may not know this, but by the end of the month, by the end of October, the church's debt will be paid off. The church will be debt-free. The church, and I talked to Bill just yesterday, Bill. Talked to him yesterday. I said, Bill, have we hit it yet? He goes, yes, Lynn, we hit it earlier this month. The church is debt-free. And that's because of people like Bill Lucas. That's because of people like Keith Ewing, one of our former elders. That's because of people like Condi Eckelbarger, who's on our finance team, one of our current elders. Paid off. That's wonderful. Now, to be honest with you, and I told Bill this earlier this month, I said, listen, I am really hesitant to announce that to the church. And he went, huh? Why? Because I've seen it happen before. The hesitancy lies in this reason. Because people in a church, they see that, you know what, we've paid the church off, therefore we can back off on our giving. We can back off on our tithing. We can back off on giving money to the church. Hey, listen, I'm here to tell you right now, we can't back off on that. There are people in this county, there are people all over the world who do not know Jesus Christ. What's the purpose of Fairfield Christian Church? The purpose of Fairfield Christian Church is to lead people to Christ and to grow them into Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. That's our reason for existence. And if we back off on giving, guess what? We won't be able to meet that purpose in our world. And that's why Jesus put us here. And we need money to operate, to do those sorts of things. I've got a luncheon Right at 2 hours from now here at the church in the fireside room. Not everyone's going to be able to be here today, But we've got about 10, 12 people who are interested in church membership. 10 or 12 people who are interested, some are interested in becoming a Christian, being baptized into Christ. And guess what? If we back off on giving, if we back off on tithing, we won't be able to reach the people that we're reaching. In fact, we need to reach more people. Jesus said that the fields are white to harvest. The fields are ripe to harvest. There are people all over the world, people all over this county, people all over this area who need to hear about Jesus Christ. And we can't take the foot off the accelerator. We've got to keep the pedal to the metal, and we've got to keep reaching out for people who don't know Jesus Christ. And so paying off is a good thing. It really is. But man, we've got to continue. We've got to continue to give. We've got to continue to reach out for Jesus Christ. And so this morning, our concepts are these: cut back, clear out, pay off. And like I said before, this is hard for me to stay in front of a big bowl of M&Ms. Less is more. Less in our lives is more. It creates more space for us to invest our time in each other, our spouses, our families, our kids, our moms and dads, and our God. Less is more. Now, let me clarify something this morning. I am not saying you can't have anything. I'm not saying that. I mean, compared to how I grew up, compared to a lot of people in our world today, Sandy and I have a lot of stuff. We do. I'm not saying you can't have stuff. I'm not saying you can't have nice stuff. But think about this. Think about this. If you have your debt load under control, if you've got some nice stuff that you own, that's a whole lot better than having a huge debt load and having your stuff own you. You see, the richest people in the world aren't the people who have the most. The richest people in the world are those who need the least. Mull that over for an hour, would you? Talk about that over lunch or a late breakfast today. Those people in this world who are the richest aren't those who have the most. Aren't those who have the most, but those who need the least. Ponder that today. Have you ever been to a third world country? I know some of you have. You ever been to a third world country? I've been to several. You go to a third world country and you will find that the majority of the people living in that third world country, they don't have running water, i.e. they don't have indoor, they don't have a bathroom inside. They don't have electricity. They've got a tin shack, and I do mean tin shack, for their house. And they've got dirt floors. How many of us have carpeted floors? How many of us have stone floors? How many of us have hardwood floors? They've got dirt floors. And then their kids are outside, yay. Their kids are outside, and they're running, and they're laughing, and they're having fun. But you look at their kids, they're all dirty. Again, they don't have running water. Hello? They're barefoot. Many of them, if they have clothes on, they're wearing rags for clothes by comparison to our kids. But what's really interesting is they are outside and they are playing and they're laughing and they're running and they're having fun with their friends. And you know what? They don't have a whole lot. They're outside and they're not inside playing on their gaming system. They're not inside playing on their tablet, on their iPhone. They're not inside at all. They're outside having fun. And when these families go to church, the families who have virtually nothing to their names, they go to church with nothing and they worship the God of the universe as though they've got everything. They worship God like they've got everything. You see, they don't have two handfuls of toil and work and worry. They've got one handful of tranquility. One handful of tranquility. And they're worshiping the God of the universe because He takes care of their daily bread. He puts a roof over their head. They don't live in luxury. But you know what? God takes care of them every single day. And they live a much simpler life. And they've got a passion for the Lord that few people have in the luxurious United States of America. Less is more. It's more. Remember the scripture that we're focusing on today, Ecclesiastes 4:6? Remember that? Let's look at that one more time. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls of toil, than two handfuls of work, than two handfuls of stuff and chasing after the wind. Better is one handful and deep relationships with my children than two handfuls of work. Better is one handful with close friendships than two handfuls of stuff and having to work two jobs just to pay for it. Better is one handful of a strong marriage than to have no time for each other. Better is one handful of a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ than being consumed with two handfuls of me, myself, and I. How do we get there? How do we get there to the one handful of tranquility? How do we get there? I'll tell you how we can begin to get there. We cut back. We clear out. We start to pay off. You see, those kinds of things can actually pave the way for a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants a deep, intimate relationship with you. He really does. And if you cut back, if you clear out, if you pay off, it paves the way for that to happen. And do you know how Jesus paved the way for that deep, intimate relationship with you? He paved the way on the cross. He paved the way on the cross. Every single week we talk about the cross in one way or another. And in many weeks we talk about the cross in a number of ways. But we talk about the cross every week through our communion service. Luke this morning is going to be leading us in our communion meditation. Luke McKinney. So Luke, come on up and lead us, would you please?